Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast is number 1449. The topic is training and the title is Training Template for Busy Personal Trainer. So I thought this would be fun to share. One of the people I recently started working with as a personal trainer, a friend of a friend who's I helped, and they're a trainer as well. So we decided to work together. What they're struggling with right now is they're trying to build their business, and right now they feel kind of a little overwhelmed. And their training is taking like kind of a back seat to the business. However, they feel that how they look is a big driver of their business. So as the business is growing, the thing that they think grows their business is going out the window. So they wanted help with trying to organize their training. They're an ex-athlete, so they've done athletic things. They've always worked out, but they've always had workouts kind of given to them, and they're familiar mostly with like athlete style workouts. So they were wanting to learn more about aesthetic training, trying to get like bigger muscles, and kind of prepping people to get on stage for bodybuilding shows and things. So along with this template, we have a lot of just educational aspects that we're sharing back and forth. So what they're looking for is they're struggling right now. They have time usually for four workouts a week. They said they would love to give five, but often there's some kind of errands or some kind of crap they have to do, and they usually miss one of the workouts a week. So they can dedicate themselves to four. They've been pretty consistent with that. But they really only have about an hour to work out. They can make like a pre-workout drink it while they work out, try to shove something, you know, 5 minutes in their face right at the very end. But they said they can do about an hour. So that's what we aimed for. And then they said they have, in their words, they have a good chest, but they had trouble growing other upper body muscles. So they wanted a stronger look. They said they're more of a pretty boy look, and they would like to look more like a jacked powerlifter. So what that means is they feel like they have a good chest, like a very dominant chest. But other than being lean, everything else is kind of average looking. So they look fit because they have, you know, six-pack abs and a big chest, but they don't feel like powerful. They don't feel like they look big in clothes, so they would like to look a little bit more jacked and kind of have more muscle everywhere else other than just their chest. So we created a template that emphasized the back, the triceps, and then we still did ab work because they were noticing when they were trying to do heavier lifts like squats and deadlifts, they had a lot of lower back pain, and although they have visible abs, they don't have strong abs. So we had to kind of focus on abs to try to help progress their squats and deadlifts as well. So kind of a little mix of aesthetic work as well as strength-based work and then corrective kind of protective things so the strength work can work. So what I wanted to do in today's podcast was just share with you the workout structures and how we kind of came up with categorical exercise selections so that way they can pick whatever specific exercises they want. Now, in the template, I gave them specific exercise examples. I gave them, like, a sample program with specific exercises included. But we wanted to keep it open so that way they could continue to experiment. They could use these workouts to get kind of progress themselves in their goal. But they also want to make videos. And if they just do the exact same week exercise every week, in their videos it doesn't look as appealing. So they wanted to have things that they could float around and jump around with a little bit more to create variety in their videos. So what we did was we set up a upper body, lower body kind of split. So for four workouts a week. And then on the fifth workout, if they do get a fifth workout in, which they get pretty much every other week they get the fifth workout in, they do arms and shoulders. And so what we're looking for here is for each exercise, like our general set count is 3 to 4 working sets. The fourth one is only if they felt like they messed up one of the three working sets. So if they get the first three working sets, you know, good, then they can stop there and move on. So what we're looking for there is good form failure within the rep range that we want, or kind of 1 to 2 reps short of good form failure. So where they stop at, like, say, 10, they're like, I probably could have done 11th, probably not a 12th very well. The 12th would have looked like I started breaking down and I wouldn't have, you know, had good technique. So they're going right to the edge of that good technique or one or two reps short. So three working sets with a fourth optional, and the rep ranges are somewhere between 6 and 20. We kind of decided for our purposes that compound movements, they should be focusing more between 6 to 12 reps, and for isolation movements, anywhere from 10 to 20. And we just talked about having variety. So like anywhere within those ranges, if it's an exercise that has a short range of motion, that means each repetition is actually kind of quick. So they might need to get up to the higher rep ranges to have the proper time under tension. Whereas exercises with a larger range of motion, their repetition per repetition is going to be longer, so they don't need as many reps for exercises with a longer range of motion. So we've talked through quite a bit of nuances and fun stuff, but what I wanted to share was the structure. So on Monday, or their workout one, in this person, you know, sometimes that day that gets in the way, you know, might be Monday, it might be Tuesday, might be Wednesday, might be Thursday, might be Friday. So we wrote these out for Monday, Tuesday, then Thursday, Friday, assuming Wednesday would be a good day for if they had to catch a bunch of crap, that's what they would do. But what we look for is actually just the first day that they're available to work out in the week, they do workout number one. The second day, workout number two. The third day, workout number three. Fourth day, workout number four. So what it might look like is, you know, they might do all four of these workouts right Monday through Thursday, and then their extra day is Friday, and that's when they do their arms and shoulders. Okay, so workout number one is an upper body workout. We do a superset, like a circuit, meaning you do two exercises kind of back-to-back, of a chest fly and a reverse fly. Now, at their gym, they actually have a machine that you can, it's a light fitness chest fly machine that you can also do reverse flies on. So sometimes they'll do that. Sometimes they'll do like cable crisscrossed reversed flies and then flip around and do like cable crossovers for chest. So there's a lot of variations that we do here. Sometimes we do one arm chest fly with a one arm reverse fly, just a lot of odds and ends. But the idea is to do some type of chest isolation and some type of rear delt, kind of like upper back isolation, get away from the lats. Trying to just get the rear delt, maybe the mid to low traps. So we want that chest fly and reverse fly. Then the next circuit is a chest press and a back row. The chest press and back row can be anything. You know, they can be a dumbbell chest press with a dumbbell one-arm row, or a dumbbell dual row where they're doing rows both arms at one time. Or they might have, again, in their gym, it's a smaller type gym where they do a lot of like personal training. They have a very small membership, so it's very easy for him to kind of bounce around. So he can do like one of their chest press machines. I don't know. I forget what kind of brand it was. It was like an off brand, but some type of, it had like a converging chest press machine, which is really good machine for getting a better chest contraction than a machine that just presses straight out. So they have a converging chest press machine, and then he can just walk over and do like cable back rows if he wants to, you know, cable seated rows. So he can kind of bounce around a little bit. Then they finish with a circuit of pull-ups and push-ups. Now, I sent him a couple videos of about like 4 million push-up variations, so that way he can pick super hard push-ups. But I like that, and he likes that because it keeps him like strong at moving his own body weight, and he wants to still have kind of strong shoulders, elbows, and wrists. So doing push-ups just kind of challenges those joints well, and makes sure they stay strong. So he does pull-up variation and a push-up variation, and that's his workout number one. So a circuit of chest flies and reverse flies for three sets, then a circuit of chest press and back rows for three sets, and a circuit of pull-ups and push-ups for three sets. He said he gets that done in about 40 minutes, and it gives him great time because whoever he trains and whatever he does right up to his time of training, sometimes it spills over 5 to 10 minutes. So he gets into his workout, crushes it, and then he has 5 to 10 minutes to drink another shake or eat something quick before he goes back into training another person. So very good structure. He's very happy with that. The second workout we have is core and lower body. We start with a circuit of abs and calves. So he can do any ab work he wants, any calf work he wants. It just doesn't matter, you know. So they have like a, what's called a captain's chair. So he does a lot of hanging leg raises and a lot of hanging crunches, things like that. And we've also added in like isometric holds to his ab exercises to help work towards like bracing strength that he'll need in the squat and the deadlift. We do a lot of dead bug variations, which is very challenging and very good for that as well. And then calves, he doesn't have great calves genetic wise, but he can do calf raises on his Smith machine that they have. They have an angled Smith machine, but he has a nice block, a wooden block he uses to leverage into it. So he can do calf raises on there. He can do, a bunch of other variations. There's variations of single arm dumbbell standing ones. So he does some kind of calf work. Then they do a circuit of a quad extension and a hamstring isolation. So like a quadricep isolation and a hamstring isolation, which would be like leg extensions and leg curls. Those are great, and there's a thousand variations of those. So we do stuff like that. Or he'll do like a body weight squat where he's only on his toes, which causes an extreme stretch through the quad, through the knee. So sometimes he might just do that and then do like a dumbbell single leg stiff leg deadlift variation for the hamstring. Just something where it's mostly quadricep isolation, mostly hamstring isolation. He does back and forth. Then he finishes the workout with a squat compound exercise. And this is a pretty aggressive squat. So we try to do barbell squats. His gym does have a safety squat bar. So he uses a safety squat bar sometimes as well. We can do Smith machine squats. We just want box squats at the wazoo. We just want some kind of a big compound squat exercise. And that's going to help him, like he said, he wants to get into feeling more powerful and lifting more like a powerlifter, feeling like it. So that's kind of a good exercise to have him finish with on that day. And again, he can do all of that in like 40 minutes, perfectly fine, very happy, great workout. Upper body wise, on the next workout day, he starts with lateral raises in a run the rack technique, which is a fun technique to push in a bunch of volume. So that might be something where you use, like I have him structured using a weight that he feels like he can do for like 10 to 12 reps, but leave 2-3 reps in the tank. Then he moves up real immediately to a weight he thinks he can do, I think it's 8 to 10 reps with 2 to 3 reps in the tank. Then he goes right into a heavier weight he thinks he can do for 6 to 8 reps. And that one, I want him to kind of like go all out, like all out for 6 to 8. Then he goes back to the weight that he did for 8 to 10 and has to get 8 to 10 out of it, even if he has to use little mini pauses. And then he goes back to the starting weight that he did for 10 to 12, and again he has to get all 10 to 12 out of it, even if he has to use mini pauses. So the idea of that is it's like a warm-up in your working sets combined into a drop set, and it's just a ton of volume pushed right real quick. So really great way to blast the shoulders to start that workout. Then we go into a circuit of overhead press, and then a mid-delt, rear delt, and delt deltoids is a fancy word for shoulders. So some kind of raise that works his middle and rear deltoid, middle shoulder muscles. That could be Gironda raises, G-I-R-O-N-D-A, if you want to check those out. I have him sometimes do leaning forward Sir Charles raises, which is really cool. I learned some of those from Josh Bryant, who has Jailhouse Strong on YouTube. And then we also do about 4 million variations of things, like upright rows against the bench or even standing freestyle. Just something that he pairs with his overhead press that works the middle and rear delt. Then he finishes that workout with a circuit of chest presses and back rows. And again, it could be any variation of any kind of chest press, any variation of any kind of back row. And again, that one is one of his quicker ones. He said he gets that one done in about 30 to 40 minutes. And that works out well because he said sometimes he has to answer a bunch of phone calls and do some odds and ends. So he likes that one being a little shorter. Then on Friday, or his fourth workout, which sometimes could be Friday or sometimes Thursday, is core and lower body again. So he starts with calf work. We do kind of rest, pause, drop sets, just some kind of craziness all on the calves right to start the workout. Then we go into a unilateral compound movement where he does some variation of like a lunge or a Bulgarian split squat or a step up, but something where it's unilateral but both legs are active, because that's going to help him build a lot of glute and interrelated hip bracing and stability strength. So he's going to build a lot of that, and those ones really help. That kind of variations of stuff really helps to thicken the glutes and the thighs, but not the core. So that's a really good kind of combination of exercises to have there. Then he goes into a circuit of a hinge compound movement, which could be a deadlift, could be an RDL, could be snatch grip RDLs, which is what I have him doing right now, and he hates them, but he loves them. And then we pair that with abs. So he does something for his abs, and we do like reverse crunches on a bench, and that actually helps you kind of alleviate lower back pain that you might feel during the hinge movement. So it's fun, a fun pairing, because the one challenges the back and the other one kind of relieves the back. So it's nice there. And then at the end of that one, he's kind of good to go. So he can be done for the day there, or he can usually add in a little bit of anything extra. So if he missed his fifth workout that week, he adds in arms at the end of this day. Or if he knows he's going to get that fifth workout in, he just kind of calls this day as is. And then on that fifth day, he does a bunch of arms and shoulders. So the idea of all this is he can get his workouts in 30 to 40 minutes. They're quick, but everything is very thorough. So, in podcast 1437, so not too many ago, we had a training podcast titled Programming for Greatest Muscle Growth. This is kind of what this person wants. So, in that podcast, we talked about all the elements that matter when it comes to programming. And one of the things we mentioned was working sets. And how you should aim for between 10 to 20 working sets per week per muscle group. And for most people, that's going to equate to growth. What we found for him was he would always end up overdoing everything. And since he was burning so many calories being on his feet, he's training like 40, 50, 60 hours a week. He couldn't eat enough to actually fulfill the demand that he was causing in his training. So he wasn't growing because he was actually overtraining. So we had to bring his total set count down. And that's actually allowed him to grow. Because now he's creating just enough damage to elicit new muscle growth, but he's not creating too much damage that his body can't repair the existing muscle to let alone add any new muscle to. So what we found was we went through and we kind of counted the direct working sets and the indirect working sets for each body part, and we're trying to get those to emphasize the areas that we want to grow on him the most. So we went through for like abs, back, biceps, chest, shoulders, triceps, quads, hamstrings, glutes. We counted all the direct working sets, all the indirect working sets. And what an indirect working set means is if I'm doing back rows, I am using my biceps to do a back row. So that would be an indirect working set for the bicep. If I'm doing a chest press, I am using my triceps. So that's an indirect working set for the triceps. So we wanted to count those numbers up and say like, okay, you know, what are we seeing here in regards to the balance that we're going to create? So if you remember, he said he has a good chest, but he wants to grow his other upper body muscles. And we knew that he needed to get stronger abs to help him do more of his like squats and deadlifts and things like that. So when we look through the total count, his total ab work is 15 working sets. His total back work is 18. His biceps, chest, and shoulders are 12. Triceps is 15. Quads is 9. Hamstrings is 12. And glutes is 9. And the 9, 12, 9 in the lower body, it's enough to still get him growth because he was overtraining before. But also, he didn't want to ever emphasize his legs too much. So since he was an athlete, his legs are actually kind of already pretty well developed. So we added a little bit extra hamstrings compared to quadriceps just to help balance out like the hamstring kind of size. He has very strong hamstrings. Gosh, very strong hamstrings. We just wanted a little bit more size, so we're doing like higher volume work on that. But for the upper body, what ended up having kind of the most working sets was his back, his triceps, and then we have the ab work. And the reason why the back and the triceps to balance out the dominant chest is really going to make his whole upper body look pretty freaking awesome. And then when he adds that shoulder and arm workout in that he gets in every other week roughly, his shoulders and his biceps and triceps, I mean, their volume goes sky high. Very good volume. But still enough to where it'll grow. So what was interesting about this was is we counted out our set counts, indirect and direct, made sure that the total count for all the body parts emphasized the body parts that we wanted, so they have the most working sets. We also realized that if he does too much, he doesn't grow. So it's interesting that not only do you want to count your working sets per body part to make sure that everything lines up the way you want, you also want to make sure that the amount of work you're doing can be matched by your food. He cannot eat anymore. He's trying his best to eat as much as he can. He's active out the wazoo. So we had to actually pull his set count down to get him to grow. So really cool elements. I thought that was just kind of fun to share the type of structure that we created, the different things we talked about, like how to pick, rep counts per exercise depending on the length of the range of motion so he can match the proper time under tension. So it's really cool stuff. If you want to learn more about putting together a program for muscle growth, that podcast 1437 is a really good one to check out. Cool. Well, I thought this was super fun. If you're anybody who wants to have some kind of template made for you like this, this is a service we do. I love doing this kind of stuff. So if you want any, if you have any questions about it or you want to ask about that process, just shoot me an email at brutalirongym@gmail.com. Okay. Well, if you like today's podcast or the podcast in general, please consider sharing it. The more people we share the podcast with, the more people we can help. And that's the whole point of doing this. Just want to help you and them live their healthiest and happiest lives. Also, thank you to the patrons of the podcast, the people who financially support the podcast or donate to it. The podcast is well over $1,000 a year for hosting costs. I give an hour to it every day, and we're going to keep it for free. So I really appreciate the donations to help cover some of that cost. If you do want to donate, you can do it at our website, www.brutalirongym.com. We have an option there for a one-time donation, monthly donation, yearly donation, even just $5 a month. It goes a long way. I appreciate it. Also, if you like the information we share in our podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. If you have any questions, feedback, suggestions, anything you want to know, let us know at our email at brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.